Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, and anywhere on that free Odyssey app. It's coming up on 4:11, 33 degrees on this Wednesday, December 10th, 2025. So, as we know, the president was here yesterday, and Congressman Bresnahan was there, Congressman Dan Muser, Congressman McKenzie, Senator... The senators were there. McCormick was there. Stacey Garrett. Listen, all the Pennsylvania politicians came out and were there. And because of such, Scranton Mayor Paige Cognetti, who is a candidate, Democrat candidate for Congress. Now, if she is primaried or not, we shall see. I know there's some teasers out there, but I think it's more just to mess with her than to actually run against her as a Democrat. But we shall see. Well, because of all the press and because of everything, you know, the mayor's comms team and the mayor wanted to be relevant with all this. And of course, that's the perfect time to throw out, you know, some talking points, but again, without solutions. So she submitted this response to the president coming here, and the Times leader ran it today. So I'm going to go through that, and then I'm going to give you my response to that, because I highly doubt that the newspapers will print my op-ed response. So, you know, I'll use my platform to give it to you. I ran for mayor of Scranton as an independent to root out corruption at City Hall, Cognetti said. That promise is to shake up a broken and corrupt political system is also what attracted me to northeastern Pennsylvania to support President Trump. Also what attracted many northeastern Pennsylvanians to support President Trump. Unfortunately, Congressman Rob Bresnahan has come to represent the exact kind of self-serving politician that northeastern Pennsylvanians, regardless of which party they voted for, we all agree we need to get rid of. Bresnahan betrayed our community by breaking his promise to ban congressional stock trading and instead becoming one of the most active traders in all of Congress, and by breaking his promise to protect our health care instead of voting for the largest cuts to Medicaid in history. Again, her opinion. The truth is that no matter who comes to our community to campaign for Rob Bresnahan, he won't be able to outrun his own record of corruption and broken promises. Big words there. Congressman Bresnahan has put himself first. I'm running to put NEPA first. She went on to say multiple news outlets have reported that Bresnahan dumped stocks in Medicaid providers shortly before voting for the largest cuts to Medicaid in history. And reported that revealed that Bresnahan sold off between $100,000 and $250,000 worth of bonds issued to the Allegheny County Hospital Development Authority, which came after a report identified 10 rural hospitals in Pennsylvania that faced immediate risk of closure. Now, my portfolio manager did the same thing. Read news reports, because that's what a portfolio manager is supposed to do. And the mayor should know this because she was a stock trader, has a Series 7 and a Series 3. So, any good portfolio manager, any person out there managing major funds, including, I would imagine, Congressman Bresnahan's managed fund, sees the writing on the wall and say, hey, we want to get out of this. We want to move into this. Hey, NVIDIA is about to do something. Let's buy some of that. Hey, let's do this. You know, we'll get into more during my response. Bresnahan's vote could take health care away from, could. There's the key word there, could. Take health care away from more than 30,000 people in Pennsylvania's 8th District, with more than a quarter of the district relying on Medicaid to receive health care. Bresnahan's vote makes an estimated $137 billion in cuts to rural health systems over 10 years, far exceeding the $50 billion so-called Rural Health Fund. So-called, that's what it's called. It's actually legislation. It's not hard to read. And she ended that Bresnahan has rubber-stamped chaotic tariffs that are spiking the cost of everything from groceries to housing in northeast Pennsylvania. Bresnahan even traded stocks heavily and completed the second most trades out of any member in Congress during the week that Trump announced a major global tariffs, providing he is more interested in his own bank account than actually doing anything to lower costs. So that was her statement, basically an op-ed that was run, her response to Donald Trump coming here to Northeast Pennsylvania. So here's my response now using my platform. In response to Mayor Paige Cognetti's latest attack, it's clear she's resorting to desperate smears to distract from her own record of backroom deals and self-serving politics. While she accuses others of corruption, let's examine her own actions here in Scranton, where she's fast-tracked favors for powerful donors and allies at the expense of transparency and taxpayer interest. Mayor Cognetti is alleged to have accepted tens of thousands of dollars in campaign contributions from Fidelity Bank board members, including a relative of her husband. In a blatant conflict of interest, she then pushed through a last-minute amendment to a 2025 budget with just 3 weeks left in the year to facilitate the rushed sale of one of the bank's assets, a branch next to City Hall, for $1.88 million as a municipal annex. This deal, introduced amid council division and questions about its necessity, reeks of cronyism and prioritizing donor interests over Scranton's fiscal health. Similarly, her rush job zoning changes for Geisinger Hospital systems comes as a surprise to half her city council, blindsiding them with proposals for massive expansion, including a five-story building and parking garage that could benefit connected insiders, notably the DNC treasurer, Virginia McGregor, who is publicly supporting Cognetti's congressional run, sits on the Geisinger Commonwealth School of Medicine board, and her family's construction ties may or may not gain from potential expansion contracts. This isn't shaking a broken system. It's engineering one for her personal and political gain. Mayor Cognetti, with her own Wall Street background, including a Series 3 and Series 7 certifications, and her time at Goldman Sachs, was never shielded away from cozying up to Congress's most prolific stock trader, Nancy Pelosi, even hosting her at rallies here in Scranton. Yet she wants to gaslight voters about congressional stock trading, cherry-picking opposition news stories to attack Bresnahan while omitting the key fact, unlike Pelosi, Congressman Bresnahan has actually written and sponsored the Trust Act to ban stock trading by members of Congress and their spouses. This is real action, not empty rhetoric. Her hypocrisy is staggering. She quotes biased reports without offering any solutions of her own, all while hiding behind shady backroom deals that undermine public trust. It's easy to point fingers at the other machine while cranking the gears of your own from that stained glass perch in the Scranton Municipal Building. Northeastern Pennsylvania deserves better than a mayor who's more focused on climbing the ladder to Congress than delivering for her community. Congressman Bresnahan has kept his promise by fighting for NEPA workers, protecting rural health care, funding through targeted investments like Rural Health Fund, and opposing reckless policies that hurt families. Cognetti's attacks won't change his record or putting people first. So there's my response to that. So, hey, you're more than welcome to write whatever op-eds you want in response to things and cherry-pick some headlines. We're going to do the same back at you here. And again, it would be a lot better, especially as a constituent of Pennsylvania's 8th Congressional District, if you came up with some ideas. Listen, everyone, it doesn't matter, bipartisanly, every expert out there, every fiscal, economic, medical expert says that Medicaid is on a cliff. It is faltering the system as it is. So instead of pointing fingers and saying, well, you know, these cuts and these fixes that target waste, fraud, and mismanagement, where's your fix? What are you going to do? You want to talk about stock trading? You didn't seem to have a stock trading issue under the Biden administration when you hosted Nancy Pelosi here. Again, one of the most prolific stock traders in Congress. See, the difference here is that Congressman Bresnahan made most of his money, a matter of fact, all of his money, prior to even going to Congress. It's not like he's at Congress making money. His investments were there before he went to Congress. His investments will be there after he leaves Congress. You could point fingers at the nonsense all you want, the cliches and your talking points from the DNC, but where's your results? It's easy to be the opposition, no doubt. You just point at the other side and say, look, that what they're doing is bad. It's hurting you. Yeah, because everybody's not doing great. So it's easy to do. It's easy to say we're going to freeze rents and not pay and cut rent for people. It's easy to say we're going to raise the minimum wage to $20 an hour. It's easy to say we're going to get health care for all. But your failed attempts to do so and anywhere you've tried to do it on incremental scales have hit walls time and time again. California raised the minimum wage for fast food workers to $20 an hour. What happened? 10,000 fast food service workers lost their jobs because they went self-serve. They had kiosks taking the spot and people just making food. What happened when you freeze the rents? And people, well, landlords get out of the business. They refurbish their apartments to office buildings because, that's what's financially beneficial to them. You want to point fingers at healthcare. You want to point fingers at the enhanced premium tax credits. That was a law that was written solely by Democrats, Democrat House, Democrat Senate, Democrat President, passed the Affordable Care Act, passed ARPA, and passed the Inflation Reduction Act, writing the enhanced premium tax credits to have a sunset December 31st, 2025. And because Democrats realize that they messed up and they didn't do a proper job because their systems are failing, they point at Republicans who are in charge now and say, look, look at the crisis you created. No, it's solely your crisis, Democrats. But it needs to be fixed. And surely, I would imagine the mayor and congressional candidate does not believe that someone making $180,000 as an individual should be having their healthcare paid for by someone who makes $50,000 or $60,000 and is struggling to get by. Surely the mayor of Scranton and congressional candidate does not believe that a couple making close to $400,000 should have their healthcare supplemented by a family of two making $120,000 with three kids. Surely you don't believe that, but you don't point. You just point the cuts. Where are your solutions? I'd be more in tune to listen if you came up with something other than, look what they're doing, it's bad. You're smarter than that. You're supposed to have a platform bigger than that. Use it. Tell us what you want to do. You have a Series 7 and Series 3, or you had Series 7 and Series 3 certifications for trading. You were a stock trader yourself. You know how this works. You know how managed portfolios work. You want to call it day trading, but you yourself know that's a lie. Stop it. And come up with solutions. Jump on the board and say, hey, talk to your friends across Congress. You've been there plenty of times since January, right? And tell them to jump on the bill and ban stock trading for everybody. I don't see an issue with it. You seem to want it. And Congressman Bresnahan actually wrote legislation to do it. One of many that are sitting there. So that's my 2 cents for today, and that's my rant. And I'm sticking to it. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It is 4:26 here. Let me go to the phones. We have Max from Dixon City. Max. Max, you there?
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to comment about the attack. And I did call earlier on the other show, and I mentioned the criminality going on in one of your callers brought it up. So I just wanted to delve a little further into it, if you don't mind, especially since you have a background here. So this guy came in 2020, you know, when we had the Biden administration move in, the woke movement. It came to my attention back then they were bringing in a lot of these criminals from out of state, and some of it had to do with Christian services, Catholic services, which I'm very disappointed in because that's something I partake with. I donate. I grew up Catholic. So I find it very insulting that they would bring people who had criminal records into areas that had vulnerable residents like these elderly people. These three women who were attacked, there's no excuse, in their 60s, probably struggling because they don't have a lot of funds and their service dog, chopped up like meat in a butcher shop because some guy felt he was so self-important, he had to go kill these women. What happens is these guys come in and they're not held accountable, and they feel they have a run of the place. And when they get emotionally upset that someone looked at them the wrong way, or a woman might have turned them down, they flip out. And we need to know why this guy came. Was he here to work at a job? That's fine. What's the background? Who's responsible for bringing him in and people like him? And also, who are these women? Was this a hate crime? Were these white women? Were these whoever, Hispanic, Asian? Is this a hate crime? And if so, should it be prosecuted as such? Because we see it a multitude of times recently with these attacks on buses, on trains, on subways, blatant hate crimes that aren't being prosecuted as such. And the general public is in danger, and they have to be warned that these murders are happening at random because somebody doesn't like the way you look or the way you look at them. Elderly women aren't prepared for this. No people are prepared. No civilized people are prepared for these attacks. And when they're downplayed, that's a problem to me. And when they're not going and there's no accountability for people bringing them in or letting them go on cashless bail, that's another problem that I have.
Well,
so
Max,
I want to get your opinion.
We all have a problem with that, and I've called that out before. We don't know a lot of the facts here. We know who the suspect is. We don't know the pedigrees of the victims. We do know their ages. We do know they were all older women.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And one of their pets. We do know the suspect did come here from Jersey City. From my searches, there is no criminal record in Lackawanna County, at least prior to this incident. So let's wait till the facts come out there. But, you know, I think someone wielding a machete and killing individuals by stabbing them in the chest with a machete, and we don't know the details. From what I understand, most of this attack is caught on video surveillance,
right,
and is pretty gruesome as per the chief and the district attorney. And I know both of them. They're both good men, and I take their words for it when they say that. As a matter of fact, they're worried about their staff who have had to respond,
right,
to this. This is how gruesome this is. So someone wielding a machete anywhere, regardless of who they are, regardless,
right,
of who their victims is a terrorizing event. You know, the fact that we see the mayor put out a statement that Bresnahan was with Donald Trump yesterday, but yet there was a multiple murder and she has yet to put out a statement now, I find that concerning.
That right there, can I stop you, Rob, real quick? That right there is the problem. The sweeping it under the rug and letting people, good people, know that this stuff is happening when they're trying to deliberately circumvent the news cycle and allowing people to know. I call her Mayor Cognitive Dissonance. She's a disgrace. She's a hypocrite and a problem. And this is another microcosm of the problem. Ignoring the fact that this man butchered three women, elderly women who had no self-defense whatsoever for this guy in their apartments. It's not like they were out at a festival. It's not like they were out, I don't know, doing drugs somewhere. They were in their apartments. Okay,
yep.
When do we as citizens say enough is enough, where there's criminals coming to our apartments, our elderly people's apartments, and chopping them up? That's a problem.
Yeah, and you know what? It's my hope, if she's able to, is that the district attorney or the police chief show the mayor some of that video to kind of put an impact of exactly what happens in situations like this. So, Max, I got to leave it there.
She won't care. She's a sociopath. They'll just go right over her head. She doesn't care.
Well, she better start caring, because her pretending to care doesn't seem to be working much. Max, I appreciate
it.
I got to go. Thank you. It's 4:32 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home throughout the Commonwealth who made the ultimate sacrifice in law enforcement on this day. On this day, we have six of them, December 10th, throughout history. We're going to start off with Police Officer John Francis Duffy, Philadelphia Police Department in 1983, was killed when his patrol van was struck by a patrol car near the intersection of 26th Street and Cambria Street as the vehicles responded to an officer needs assistance call. Court Officer Ernest L. Lang Jr., Delaware County Bureau of Park Police and Fire Safety in Pennsylvania, was shot and killed when he intervened in an armed robbery at 2213 West 3rd Street in Chester City, Pennsylvania. That was 1978. Captain Walter Lee Peterson, Pennsylvania Department of Corrections, on this day in 1973, was beaten to death with a chair after being attacked by four inmates in the exercise room of the Western Penitentiary in Pittsburgh. He had just been promoted to captain 3 hours before this attack happened. Policeman Charles J. Shear, Philadelphia Police Department in 1928, was killed when he was crushed by a trolley while directing traffic at 9th and Walnut Street. Private Bertram Beach, Pennsylvania State Police in 1925, was killed when his patrol car was struck by a train in Mercer County. And Chief of Police Edward Norton Jr., Jersey Shore Borough Police Department in 1904, suffered a fatal heart attack shortly after struggling with two juveniles that had been arrested for disorderly conduct. And those are our six from here in our area. But again, I want to recognize our first responders. Because between a commercial fire that displaced over two dozen and this machete attack in the heart of Scranton, both the Scranton Fire Department and the Scranton Police Department, Pennsylvania Ambulance, and all who respond to this, district attorney offices and investigators, just goes to show that the work and duty that they do on behalf of the men and women of all society. So my thanks goes to them always, but especially on nights like yesterday. It's 4:40 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's 4:48, 33 degrees on this Wednesday, December 10th. Time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? Before I start that, I got to say, Jake, I know you heard me yelling in here. There's nothing sexier than watching a woman with a shovel. My wife's out there in the driveway shoveling, you know, around her car and stuff. So I was talking to her through my camera system at home. So you go, girl. There you go. Back to the everyday show now. Let's see what we have today in history. 1898, the Treaty of Paris ends the Spanish-American War. The U.S. and Spain signed the Treaty of Paris, ending the war, granting the U.S. control of Puerto Rico, Guam, and the Philippines. 1906, President Theodore Roosevelt wins the Nobel Peace Prize. Roosevelt becomes the first American to win the Nobel Prize, honored for mediating the end of the Russo-Japanese War. That was 1906. 1964, Martin Luther King Jr. accepts the Nobel Peace Prize. Receives the Nobel Peace Prize in Oslo for his leadership in nonviolent civil rights movement. 1817, Mississippi becomes the 20th state. That's my daughter-in-law's state. See that? Mississippi officially joins the Union in 1817. 1941, Japan invades Guam. Just 3 days after Pearl Harbor, Japanese forces seize Guam during World War II. 1869, Wyoming grants women the right to vote. 1869, Wyoming grants women the right to vote. The Wyoming Territory becomes the first U.S. jurisdiction to grant women full voting rights. 1896, Alfred Nobel's Wills creates the Nobel Prize. 1948, UN General Assembly adopts the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Eleanor Roosevelt played a substantial role in drafting and advocating for its passage. 1998, the U.S. House Judiciary Committee approves articles of impeachment for President Clinton. The committee votes on four articles related to perjury and obstruction of justice. In 2007, the Mitchell Report on steroid use in baseball was released. The investigation names dozens of Major League Baseball players linked to performance-enhancing drugs. Let's see what we have in Pennsylvania here. Well, 1787, going way back. Pennsylvania ratifies the U.S. Constitution. Pennsylvania becomes the second state to ratify the Constitution, doing so decisively. Pennsylvania coal strike settlements in effect. The historic anthracite coal strike settlement terms, mediated by Theodore Roosevelt, continue rolling out across NEPA mining towns. That was 1902. 1968, the Philadelphia Inquirer wins key First Amendment case in the Supreme Court. U.S. Supreme Court sides with the paper Time, Inc. versus Hill, strengthening protections for the press. 1985, Philadelphia Police Department reforms intensify post-move. And 1999, the Pennsylvania Turnpike Easy Pass implementation advances. The Turnpike Commission confirms full rollout plans modernizing tolling statewide. That was 1999. So that's it for Today in History on this December 10th. Let me tell you about my friends over at Monk Heating and Air Conditioning. Listen, I had three criteria. It's real simple for a company I wanted to work with. I wanted a local company. I wanted a family-run company. I wanted a company that used top-of-the-line equipment. And they checked all those boxes. That Mitsubishi Electric heat pump system, that is top-of-the-line. It is the gold standard of those split-air ductless systems. And they are Mitsubishi Diamond Elite contractors. Family name behind anything, if you're dealing with Jim, Rob, Taylor, Lauren, they're going to stand behind everything they do because their name is on everything they do. Monk Heating and Air Conditioning. Rob Monk came to my house, scanned each room, told me exactly what size unit we needed, showed me what it would look like on the wall, asked me if I was happy with where it would be located, explained the installation to me, and when they came out, under 5 hours, the whole thing was done, showing us how to use it in 15 minutes, and that was it. We have heating and air conditioning whenever we needed it at the touch of our fingers right now. So if you have any HVAC needs, please contact MonkHVAC.com. That's MonkHVAC.com, MonkHVAC.com. Tell them I sent you. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Looking at some things here. We've been talking about this most of the day, this machete attack and now double murder in right in the heart of Scranton. Yesterday evening, to where Michael Willie Marquise Woods, a male black 38-year-old that lived at the former German hotel right in downtown Scranton on Biden Street, old Spruce Street, attacked three other residents that lived in the hotel German complex. Victim number one was a 61-year-old female who was stabbed in the chest with that machete and was killed. Victim two was a 59-year-old female, was also stabbed in the chest, and she is also deceased, along with her dog. Now, I'm hearing some information that that dog may have been a service dog, but I'm trying to confirm that now. And then victim number three was also stabbed in the chest after opening a door, hearing the commotion. She was a 66-year-old female, and she's in critical condition at one of our hospitals in our area. The suspect fled out onto the street and was taken immediately into custody by the responding Scranton police officers, still with the machete in his hand, covered in blood. I am hearing that one of the victims was a veteran. And again, all three victims were females from age 59 to 66. I'm not going to get too much into who and what until official announcements are announced, but I don't think it's too much information at this point to say that one of the victims was in fact a veteran, and it kind of puts an exclamation point. I mean, any murder is tragic, any loss of life or death is of a concern. But the fact that there was a veteran living in this building and became a victim here is just troubling. It's just troubling. And you can see with the police chief and the district attorney during their press briefing today, and even talking about the toll that a case like this takes on their staffing. This was not a light scene to respond to. From what I understand from the district attorney's own statements is the majority of this attack is caught on video. So prosecutors, the district attorney, the chief, and others, including investigators, have seen almost exactly what happened here. It's caught on video. And, you know, that'll be of help when it comes to a trial. The suspect is being held without bail in Lackawanna County. I have posted his arrest documentation on my Facebook page, so you could check it out there. But again, just hearing that one of the victims was a veteran as well, it's troubling. It truly is. And, you know, it was a difficult day in the city of Scranton for its first responders. You know, they had a commercial blaze that was pretty much all hands that displaced over two dozen residents of the city of Scranton that, you know, the Red Cross and insurance and other agencies will step up and help. But On days like it was yesterday, in just this time of year, fighting any fire becomes that much more difficult. You know, you have different dynamics. You know, in the summer, you're dealing with extreme heat, exhaustion, and that, you know, in the winter, you're dealing with that as well. you'd be surprised how worked up you get in that gear. And doesn't regardless out there, you're fighting the elements on the external of you too. You know, especially when you have water issues, which they dealt with the other day. Thankfully, that was not here. And then an incident like this, where both medics, fire department, and the Pennsylvania ambulance responded, and are commended in their response to this. So that's the new information I have. And as I get information that I can bring to you, you know, some things I hold back because of the investigation. But, you know, when I feel I could give you something, and I think that was something relevant that I should give you. And this is the very same spot. I had a texter remind me just a couple of months ago where I had an issue right out front of this place while I was parked. Someone approached my car and it almost got dangerous. So 5 o'clock here at WILK.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.